On this week's Big Tech Show, how will the latest developments in artificial intelligence affect your life? Will you get new powerful personal assistants? Are you in danger of something terrible happening? We explain what's going on.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Anthropic, which is OpenAI competitor, their startup lab, actually founded by former OpenAI employees, they actually eclipsed GPT-4 only just a couple of weeks ago with their latest model, and the internet went crazy. This is just better than GPT-4 at everything. So OpenAI had to respond to that.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
The next train at Platform 7 will be an in-depth look into rural crime in Ireland.
There's a story for any time of your day with the Indo Daily Podcast.
Have the lessons of the 20th century been lost, or have we been turning a blind eye all along?
The authorities in Ireland and abroad have been cracking down on the Kinahan cartel.
The actions of their chief executive have called staff to cry offside.
Mute your commute with the Indo Daily Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Today on the Indo Daily, that champagne party, just how impromptu was it and what happens next?
You know, I think in fairness to those involved, it does appear to have been an impromptu event. It should not have happened. It was wrong that it occurred. But it was, you know, it was 18 months ago at this stage. And, you know, perhaps a further investigation is required, but I think it's important that we put in perspective too.
I'm Siobhan Maguire, and today I'm joined by two Irish independent journalists, Philip Ryan, political editor, and Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor. And we're going to talk about that Department of Foreign Affairs party, which happened at a time when it was a no-fun zone for the rest of us.
Did you seek an investigation, further details?
No, I didn't. You know, I clearly didn't think that was a good idea. Well, because this was something that had happened. It was quite public because it was put up on social media. It was taken down. There was an acknowledgement of wrongdoing, if you like.
But I didn't feel that there was
a need for follow-up after that.
Will you go before the Oireachtas Foreign Affairs Committee if you're asked to answer further questions?
Oh, I will, of course. Yeah, I mean, I'll always go before the Oireachtas Committee if they want to ask me about anything.
Philip Ryan, just remind us of what happened and that fateful day in June 2020.
Yeah, so going back to June 2020, the big news of the evening of June 2020 was the vote for the UN Security Council seat, which Ireland secured, which was a great success. And we secured it quicker than we expected to by getting it in the first round. And the UN section, along with the Secretary General in the Department of Foreign Affairs, were naturally enough very proud of their achievements. And not long after the vote, the Secretary General posted a photograph on Twitter, which was himself and to the forefront. And in the background, there was around 20 civil servants, all enjoying what looked like champagne. Moët and Chandon bottles were said to have been opened. You can see at least three bottles of on display. There's even a newborn baby featured in the picture. And this was put up on Twitter with the caption, "We're walking on air now." And they were all celebrating, and it was a lovely time for them. And then later that evening, a few people on Twitter pointed out, "Well, we're still in the middle of lockdown here, lads. That doesn't seem like a lot of social distancing going on. What's this all about?" At that stage, and it was just after midnight, the Secretary General took down the photograph and apologized to one Twitter user who had raised concern. And that seemed to be it until just after Christmas this year, and when Boris Johnson was in the middle of a lot of trouble for the various parties, various and many parties there seems to have been held in Downing Street. Some he attended, some he didn't. And then this picture got brought up, going like, well, we did something very similar happened in Ireland and nothing was ever said about it. So we initially got a response from the DFA saying, oh, well, look, we just dropped our guard. We had a big success. Will you leave us alone? And the story got out. People saw the picture again. They were a little bit annoyed about it. So a few hours after the story was published, the DFA apologized and said, oh, we shouldn't have done it, and we're awful sorry. Then we had days and weeks, really, of trying to find out what Simon Coveney's involvement was or wasn't in the party that was held in his own department in Ivy House in Dublin City Centre. Initially, we were told, oh, he wasn't there. He was over in government buildings with Leo Varadkar looking at the vote. And then we were told, oh, he was in and out of the building during the day. But again, was he there during the party or not? And then finally, we were told that he was there for 10 minutes. He arrived about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes after that picture was taken. So at about 11:15 at night, he showed up to the party to his office for 10 minutes. He spoke to the staff who were still there, still working away. He said there was no sign of a party. And that's kind of where we are at now. He's faced a lot of questions over why he didn't launch any investigation or look into it further at the time. He has eventually, after 3 weeks of this story being in the news, asked his current Secretary General to launch an investigation. And he also faced the prospect of being dragged before a Foreign Affairs Committee, which are meeting to discuss the matter. So that's where we are for the time being, Siobhan.
That's the thing, Fionnán Sheehan, isn't it? I mean, there's kind of two aspects to this, that while DFA staff partied, the rest of the country were under strict no-fun rules. And then there's the issue of how impromptu it actually was. I mean, I don't know about you, but I certainly don't have a stash of Moe tucked away.
Well, the Department of Foreign Affairs has got a fine cellar down in the basement dating back to the days when this was the Guinness family's townhouse, which is where the Ivy House derives its name from. We're not suggesting in any way that the cellar was raided, but you know, perhaps this was brought in from a mere off license in the neighborhood. But like, it does strike one as double standards that basically you have a bunch of officials who, even if you take it on face value and you say, oh, well, as the Department of Foreign Affairs statement said 3 weeks ago, there was a moment of happiness. Well, there was lots of moments of happiness during COVID-19 for lots of people. There were weddings, there were baptisms, there were birthdays. And lots of people had to suspend those moments of happiness because of COVID-19 restrictions. There was lots of moments of sadness as well for funerals that people couldn't mourn collectively. So basically, while the country was suspending its normal manner in which it would mark significant events, here we have 20 officials who were basically thinking, well, we're diplomats. We've got diplomatic immunity. The rules don't apply to us. We're not the little people. So that's the way that it looks. Nobody is saying here that getting elected to the UN Security Council wasn't significant. However, I think the problem here is people in government, particularly in the Department of Foreign Affairs and in government buildings, seem to be getting a bit overexcited about how significant this was to the nation. I'd say now, if you go out knocking on a few doors and canvassing in the next general election, if you were Leo Varadkar and Simon Coveney and saying, well, we won a seat on the UN Security Council, they won't be getting too many votes in return for that. So yes, unilateral and bilateral relations are extremely important to the nation, as we've seen, for example, with Trump and Brexit, how damaging your international relations and international reputation with other countries, the impact that can have on a country. But what we seem to have here is one law for the public at large and another law if you're part of an elite within government. This suggestion that this was an impromptu little gathering, there was lots of impromptu little gatherings that took place around the country where people were fined either for organising them or for attending them in the first place. There were fines being handed out by Garda Síochána throughout 2020 and 2021 to enforce the public restrictions that were in place. But here we have a group at the heart of our government who seem to operate under different rules. And that goes to the nub of this issue. The second issue that is coming to hand is the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, and his abject inability to deal with any controversies. We had the Catherine Zapone affair, which dragged on and on during the summer, largely speaking of his own making, because he had the opportunity, A, to handle it differently from the start, and B, to clean up the mess but he actually made it worse, and that dragged on, and that was damaging to the government. We now have this issue, which is now going on by my count for 20 days that the Department of Foreign Affairs are being asked about this. They now seem to be reverting back to the spin based upon the statement that they put out on the first day, which was these officials were in place to canvass for votes. The UN Security Council seat was won on the first count, therefore they didn't need to lobby, and therefore they had time in their hands. So they threw an impromptu champagne party. The third issue that is coming across quite forcibly now at this point is the subservient attitude of senior members of this government who are democratically elected towards their senior civil servants. There was no action taken by Simon Coveney 19 months ago on this matter. He has been very slow to take any action now, taking a whole 3 weeks to order an internal investigation. And even when he did order it, he didn't seem to want to make that public because he didn't seem to want to upset his senior civil servants. It was quite revealing at the weekend that likewise Leo Varadkar, not wanting to upset the senior civil servants, actually came out and said, on the 100th anniversary of the handing over of Dublin Castle and we as a nation attaining our sovereignty, to actually turn around and say, we only have authority over our political staff, we don't have authority over our civil servants, is quite a remarkable statement for a guy who was supposed to be the anti-establishment candidate when he became Taoiseach 5-6 years back.
And that's the thing, Fionnán. I mean, that interview that we heard Justin McCarthy on This Week over the weekend with Leo Varadkar, I mean, it doesn't exactly instill confidence in how this whole issue is being dealt with.
But the fact that you don't, the fact that you don't know whether that was illegal, doesn't that underline the fact that there should have been or should be an investigation into it?
Like I say, in terms of anything in relation to it being legal or not, you know, that would obviously be a matter for the Gardaí, not a matter for the government.
Well, then should the minister not have reported it to the Gardaí?
You know, I think obviously that's, I suppose the implication there is that in some way the minister is responsible for this. I don't think that's fair. You know,
he's in charge of the department, isn't he?
Yeah, but he wasn't present. He had no role in organising it whatsoever. Civil servants are, politicians do not have the power or authority to discipline civil servants. We have authority over our political staff. We don't have authority over civil servants. We have no power to reprimand them or discipline them. We don't. That's just the way our system works.
That's actually the answer from the deputy leader of the country to a question of, well, why wasn't this issue dealt with at the time? Why wasn't there an investigation? Why wasn't it reported to the Gardaí? He then goes on to talk about, you know, politicians not having any power. If he'd actually read ever, I would think he should have, given that his power actually devolves from this. The Ministers and Secretaries Act, going back to 1924, one of the most important statements on our attainment of our independence as a nation, and updated quite frequently since then, he would actually see that the minister and the collective government are responsible, quote, for all matters concerning the departments of state. So Leo Varadkar's suggestion that, well, really, this isn't a political matter. This is actually something for the civil servants to deal with. This is the entire point of him being elected in the first place. He is the democratically elected member of this government. It is his responsibility. It is his responsibility to deal with this, not to just leave it off to a bunch of civil servants. And that is what has been most unsatisfactory about the answers here. The nod and wink mentality, the meekness in the face of behaviour by senior civil servants, that was unsatisfactory. Simon Coveney coming out saying, oh, well, they're hugely embarrassed and they're abjectly humiliated and so on. It's terribly embarrassing what's happened here. That's all very nice. But that doesn't wash for people who end up being fined for COVID restrictions or ending up down the district court or the circuit court on any form of wrongdoing. the government's response to this has actually spoken more widely beyond just this issue about about the manner in which the nation is now set up and the system is set up. And this is from Leo Varadkar, a guy who let's remember was the man who attained quite a considerable reputation within his own party, which you can directly lead towards him becoming Taoiseach, because he was seen to be the man who was standing up to the system. He's the guy who stood up for the Garda whistleblowers, who said that they were distinguished. He was the guy who directly criticised the then Commissioner, Martin Callanan, for describing their actions as disgusting. That was a major moment for Leo Varadkar and for the subsequent leadership campaign, where people within and outside the party said, yeah, here's a man of his own mind. He didn't turn around at that time and go, well, that's not my role. You know, I'm Minister for Transport. That was clearly under the remit of the Minister for Justice. He had no problem intervening then. But we're now seeing that basically Leo Varadkar has been utterly captured by the system. And that leads one to conclude that are some of these guys, particularly Varadkar and Coveney, who are now in government, heading on for 11 years, are they too long inside there? And can they not tell the difference between their role as a minister and their relationship with their civil servants?
I want to go back to you, Philip Ryan, on a couple of points. You kind of touched upon earlier the parallels or similarities with Partygate, which is still very much ongoing in the UK. And of course, we've had Boris come out and apologise to Parliament.
Number 10 is a big department, with the gardeners as an extension of the office, which has been in constant use because of the role of fresh air in stopping the virus. And when I went into that garden just after six on the 20th of May 2020 to thank groups of staff before going back into my office 25 minutes later to continue working, I believed implicitly that this was a work event.
Well, I think what happened in Downing Street and what happened with Boris Johnson is what ignited this controversy. But the issue at hand is what we've discussed, and is what Fionnán mentioned there as well, is that there was around 17,000 people. These are the latest figures I could see from the Garda website. 17,000 people, more than that even, that were given fines for COVID, for breaches of COVID regulations over the course of the pandemic. And amongst those were more than 2,800 people who were given €150 fines for attending illegal gatherings, for gatherings being in places they shouldn't have been, whether it was pubs or it was house parties or whatever it was, they were hit with those fines. And we don't know who these individuals are. We don't know the exact details of those cases. But we do know the Department of Foreign Affairs have accepted that what they did was a breach of COVID regulations. And that's where the issue lies. So like what Fionnán said, it's either the rules apply to everyone or they don't. So we need a fairness around this. What has been asked of the Irish people, asked of everybody across the globe for the last 2 years, has been a complete stripping of your liberties and freedoms. To remain in your house, to remain 2 kilometres from where you live, don't have this many people over, don't have that meet, don't go to that shop, don't go to that pub, don't do this, don't do that, put that in your arm. You've been asked to do all this and everybody's gone along with it. And we've done it, and the government is very proud of our reaction. There's been a good response, and all the indicators are quite good. And when you look at deaths and hospitalizations and the vaccine take up, so the public played their part. They did what was asked of them, and now it's when you have an incidence like this, it makes you wonder: was everybody in power playing their part as well? Maybe it's a one off. Maybe there's no other incidents going to come out, and that's fine. But I think the people who do breach, and just like members of the public, there should always be consequences. If I could touch off just one other thing on the political realities of this, and all this talk of the lessons learned and things like that, there clearly has been no lessons learned from the Minister for Foreign Affairs. There is certainly a blind spot there to what are fair criticisms for some of his things that has transpired under his watch, the appointment of Catherine Zapone, and now this incident. What lessons are learned? There has been about 4 statements and 1 interview from him throughout this. It has been a drip feed of information. It has been far from transparent in coming forward and going out, this is what happened. There's an attitude in there, and people in government will tell you this, that the first tactic you always try is give as little information as possible and hope the media stop asking questions and get distracted by something else. That's the approach. That's a political strategy that they use. We try our best in the media to ensure that doesn't happen and that people are transparent about what they do.
The basic rule of government is never look into anything you don't have to. And never set up an inquiry unless you know in advance what its findings will be.
And what will happen now?
What happens next for him is that he goes that the Foreign Affairs Committee will meet. It is likely they will want to see this report that he has ordered his new Secretary General Joe Hackett to order. They'll want to see that. Then after they see that, they will more than likely get in Simon Coveney and that Secretary General. There will be also a discussion at the meeting about whether the former Secretary General, Niall Burgess, the man who took the photograph, should also be called in to address the controversy.
And Niall Burgess is now an ambassador, is that correct?
He's ambassador to France and Monaco, one of the most illustrious positions you can get in the diplomatic corps. It is high up there on level of prestige and the surroundings of even the ambassador's home over there. The ambassador's office is a 45 million euro house in the middle of Paris. So you can imagine that anyone who has that is in that career path, has that high on their list of jobs they want to do. So yeah, he's over there now in the home of champagne, of course, with more access to cheaper Moët, you would expect. And he so far hasn't had to answer any questions on this.
Fionnán, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, we can see how this one is going to play out based upon the department's attitude to date. I presume the report that will come out will outline events as we already know as they occurred. We'll then get some thing about, oh well, we're extremely contrite and apologetic, and here are the lessons that have been learned into the future. But there is still a question overhanging here, and this is one that the Tánaiste couldn't really address, and that is whether this matter should be referred to an Garda Síochána. As he said the other day, in terms of anything in relation to it being legal or not, that would obviously be a matter for the Gardaí, not a matter for the government. So the internal report in the Department of Foreign Affairs can certainly explain what happened and offer an opinion on whether this was in breach of COVID restrictions, but ultimately that would be up to the Gardaí to respond. So it's not over yet, and yet you'd have to say the answers to date from the department have not been satisfactory. We saw with Simon Coveney during the Zappone affair how his political naivety kicked it all off. We then saw his arrogance taking over where he tried to stand over his decision. We then saw the survival instincts kicking in where he, you know, poor old Catherine Zappone had to ultimately surrender her position. And then we basically saw a more contrite minister coming out and saying he could have handled things differently, and the controversy was down to him. And you wonder with him, he doesn't really seem to have reached that point yet where he's actually understanding that he could have handled this situation better. I think he'll eventually get to that point. And yet again, we'll have Simon Coveney saying, oh yeah, I've learned lessons and I'm really sorry for all the damage this has caused to government.
I'm Siobhan Maguire, and today's episode of the Indo Daily was presented and produced by myself, researched by Tabitha Monaghan, recorded by Gavin Hennessy, with sound design by John Smith. Archive clips with thanks to independent.ie, RTE Radio 1's This Week and The News at One, and Yes Minister from the BBC, created by Anthony Jay and Jonathan Lynn. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow and leave us a review.